Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Second hour on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. Parker Kelly with you. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We've got loaded phone lines right now, so let's stick with them. Let's go back to the phones. Philip is on the line wanting to chime in. Philip, thanks for calling. Go ahead. Philip, you got us?
He must be that guy who keeps calling me and trying to sell me medical insurance.
Philip, last call? All right, well, let's go to Dustin from Hopkinsville on our phone lines as well. Dustin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I may have gotten Philip and Dustin mixed up here. There were like 15 calls at one time.
It's possible. If we messed up there and we called the wrong names, call
that
us back.
That one may be on me, guys.
Call us back, 615-737-1025. I think we definitely mixed them up, because as soon as we said last call for Philip, he hung up, and then we went to Dustin from Hopkinsville.
Call back.
We'll get you right this time. 615-737-1025.
I just want to know, I got nothing to do with anything. I'm sitting here drinking coffee.
Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. While we wait to see if they do call back.
Yep.
Yesterday, Brian Callahan announced that he is giving up play calling. Bo Hardigree is taking over.
Interesting.
We mentioned it earlier in the show.
Seems like yesterday.
It seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
Long first hour. We talked about how it feels like a move to save his job. It's hey, things are not going in the right direction. I know where it's headed, and whether he was told to do this or whether it was something that he realized, hey, if I don't do this, this is the only way it's going to change. It seems like a last-ditch effort to try and get this right.
Yeah, and I think the overwhelming thing, because we're all there on the same thing of, was this really his decision? I mean, because I find it hard to believe that it was, because he's always been steadfast that I'm the play caller.
And even yesterday when he announced it and they asked, like, what do you think the problems were with the play calling? And he
Nothing.
Goes, I don't think there were any problems with the play calling.
Well, but he didn't say he was changing because there was a problem with the play calling.
Yes, he said it was because of his in-game decisions and wanting to take stuff off his plate, which I think is smart.
And if he's having a hard time making in-game decisions because he's worried about the play calling,
right,
then that's legit.
And we saw the Elik Iyemanner elbow gate in week one. I think 100%, like, maybe he didn't know the rule, and like
he was on to the next play.
Right, he knew that he had to get a play in for 2nd and 20.
And his replay guy let him down. His replay guy needs to say, Brian, you have to challenge this.
Yes,
this
throw
is inbounds.
The flag. Yes.
And I'm not making excuses for him. It's a team fail. It's a team fail, and ultimately those lie on the head coach
for sure.
But you need someone to stand up and say, Brian, you hold on. You this is my job, and I'm telling you, you got to challenge this one. Now, the in-game decision to throw the ball from the 6 or wherever they were with seconds
to play. That's on him.
That's on him. The in-game decision to not know what you're going to do after you hand off the ball on third down, that's, to me, you're getting into the paralysis by analysis situation, and that's a problem. Because at some point, you, as a leader, and I haven't led the amount of people that Brian Callahan led, so I can't compare it. But I have been in management roles, and you have to be willing and able to just make decisions and move forward and be damned with the consequences, and you'll live with them. But you can't hem and haw and go, what? I mean, the moment you handed the ball off on third down,
you should know what you're going to do.
Yes.
Yep. That,
yes.
You usually, head coaches, play callers, will call a play on third down knowing what they're going to do on fourth down.
Regardless of the result.
Right.
You'll say, if it's this result, we're doing this. If it's this result, we're doing this.
Right.
To me, once they handed it off, Jake, we're kicking a field goal.
See, I would have said, if you're handing it off on 3rd and 2, it's because you know you have 2 shots at it. And you're like, you know what? Let's try and get a little closer. Gives us options on 4th down.
Well, but you're running clock. Okay.
Well, they ran the ball 5 times in a row.
So, yes. So what are you doing? What are you doing?
You're setting up for, you're playing for the
field goal.
No, that's
so
true.
You didn't get it.
Right.
So kick the field goal.
Yeah. The whole sequence was botched on Sunday.
Yes.
From basically playing for a field goal and then not taking the opportunity to kick the field goal.
Yeah, that's
when you had two timeouts to make that
decision.
You've
got to have conviction in what you do.
Yeah.
And believe me, the people who you are charged with leading, they see that.
Right.
They will run a wall for you, run through a wall for you if you tell them to, as long as they believe in what they're doing.
Right.
But if they know you're not sure, if you're like, hey, guys, I need you to get...
Actually, get back over here for a second.
Okay. I want him to get out front, and now you guys go run out through. I think you'll get through to the other side.
Yeah.
And that's not what they need to hear. They need to say, guys, everybody over there, on the line, through that wall, now. I know you'll get there.
Yeah. No, that is true. And hopefully, taking the play calling off his plate will allow him to be more focused on making those decisions and being confident in them.
Maybe he'll enjoy his job more.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. I mean, it may not be what he wants at all,
right,
which I'm sure it is, but who knows? But maybe he just manages the game and the whole team and is like, you know what? That was a lot more enjoyable. And if they win, it will be a lot more enjoyable.
Yes, maybe they will actually start competing in these games.
I mean, like, I know what his dream was. And that was to lead an NFL football team and to call the plays.
Yes, he wants to be Kyle Shanahan, Sean
Andy
McVay.
Reid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's been his dream his whole life, and I get that. But sometimes life takes us down. I mean, my dream was always to do play-by-play for the Cubs. I'm here, all right? I'm here. And you know what? My life is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know. And right, if this saves Brian Callahan's job, I'm sure he will look back fondly on the decision, whether it was his or somebody else's.
Yeah, you saved
me. Play calling away.
Thank you.
So 615-737-1025. It seems like we've got the phones figured out.
All right, let's try it again.
Let's go to the phones. Dustin from Hopkinsville is on the line. Thanks for calling, Dustin. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I got a few things to talk about. So you're both right, the callers and Sports Talk Radio here. Yeah, they need to catch the ball. But what you guys are forgetting in the text line and phone line is that Calvin Ridley is a number two playing at a number one. We have a lot of number twos at number one.
There's a lot of jokes to that line.
Yeah,
we got a lot of number twos.
There's a lot that some people can't decipher fast enough. I don't take notes, but they're in my head. So if I lose track of something, you're going to lose some gems, but I'm going to give you a few. So, another thing is, you know, you're talking about Cam Ward. He needs to take a little off the ball. You are correct, because the good ones don't take it off the ball. The Brett Favre, the Tom Brady, the Aaron Rodgers, you know what they do? They play three games with their players, and by the fourth, they know their players' tail. And that's the difference in the great ones. All the stuff that goes through their head, and they see that number in that jersey down the field as they're about to get sacked, and they throw it 35 yards down the field, and they put that zip on it because they know he will catch it, or they throw it short because they know that guy over the middle, you know, they can't put the zip on it, but he's going to catch it. Okay? Now, in about eight games, I can say this thing could totally flip. And what we need to keep hoping for, if you guys really want to see Restrepo, is Ridley keeps dropping the damn ball. Van Jefferson is doing a lot better. But we got one of the fastest players in the league in Jim DK. I cannot wait to see him start catching balls.
Yeah.
We got Kyle Manor catching balls out of his mind.
Yep.
So the people talking about Cam Ward, go sit down. And the people who are saying he needs to take some zip off the ball, you're right, too. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to the coaching, I coach Little League soccer here and there. I feel that I work.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. It's the best time ever.
But the thing is, I fill in, and I see the difference in me and the people actually coaching, and I never try to put them down. I'm there for the kids. They're the little kids. You know, wins aren't the biggest thing, but we're developing these kids to get to the next level. While I don't know all the rules in soccer, I know fundamentals, and I know how to get the most out of them. Where Brian Callahan, you never hear him really get out of pocket unless he's on the defense mode for himself. That man needs – well, I might be able to say this. Let's just say it. Grow a pair. Okay? when he lines up those guys, and they're like, whatever. He's like, no, you're going to do it my way. And he steps forth with a finger pointing in their face. or you're going to take your 250-pound butt, you're going to get in my face, you're going to knock me out. When I get up, you're still going to do what I say. And I don't think we had that in Brian Callahan. The dude's so out of shape in the middle of the game, he doesn't even know the rules.
He has lost weight.
He's not going to develop Cam Ward. He's going to bring him back. I think Ward's special. I didn't at first. But to be playing with Callahan and not looking like Levis, because he has the same attributes, the same arm. The only thing he's got really way better is that mind for the game, and he's not getting overwhelmed. I'll hang up and let y'all talk.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Dustin. I,
by the way, appreciate your commitment to youth sports.
Yes.
I know he doesn't make a dime doing it. I've done it for years. Love it. And appreciate all you moms and dads out there that commit time to your kids and kids that aren't even your own, because you do make a difference.
Yes. For sure. I coached youth basketball when I was in high school to get some volunteer hours. Yep. And, you know, it is.
It's tough to dial back that grown-up mentality with the kids. But once you do, you realize, like, man, we're just out here having fun.
Yep.
Until you take a team and you keep moving up in age.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'm developing dogs, and I don't care what these parents are worried about their, you know, kid playing when they're 13. Okay, do you want your kids to go further? I'm going to yell a little bit, you know?
You know what, and I know this isn't the conversation everybody tuned in to hear, but there is no more exciting or satisfying feeling than when you teach an 8 or a 9-year-old something on the practice field, like you work on something.
Yeah, and
then
they
you
get it right.
When you see it show up in the game,
yeah,
and you don't care if they score or not. Just the fact that they tried to do what you showed them to do, I mean, it's just, it is so rewarding for everyone, because they know – I mean, they can see the excitement on your face when you do it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Dustin. Yeah. And, you know, I think some good thoughts in there about Cam Ward and Brian Callahan. We'll react more to what he had to say. And, Phillip, I promise we're going to get to you. We do have to take a break here. We'll be right back. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. Lots of people wanted to get in on the conversation. We'll get back to your phones in just a second. Did want to react quickly to what Dustin had to say. He mentioned that all the talk of Cam Ward trying to take something off of his passes. And we were saying during the break, it's not that he needs to just lob it every time.
No.
But you have to know when.
Selective.
Right. When do you need the fastball? When do you need the changeup? Like, that's what he needs to learn and be able to make those decisions.
Because we said, you know, Jay Cutler, John Elway, and, you know, Brett Favre, they all... I mean, look, they all could still rifle the football.
Right.
But there were times when they showed a little touch and just kind of dropped it in there. And you know, Cam did try to do that Sunday. It just was
to the wrong team.
Yeah, it was just to the wrong team. And so, you know, and again, that might be 2 passes a game.
Yes.
But they'll get there. And it's kind of the least of the concerns right now. Now, as far as Brian Callahan's personality, you know, we're only privy to so much. And you know, I've been around a lot of head coaches, some, you know, really hard guys, some not so hard guys, some have hard guys around them, you know, and Jeff Fisher, he'd get after guys, but Mike Heimerdinger and Greg Williams were bulldogs.
Right.
I mean, they would get after their players. And Jim Washburn was a defensive line coach who got after his players a lot too. And so, you know, you don't know whose roles are there in the coaching staff, but I think there's what he's getting at is an overwhelming sense of challenging the team.
Yep.
Challenging them to be better, telling them they have to be better. And I think there was some of that in the locker room from what we heard Sunday after the game. Everyone needs to look in the mirror, and I think he's right. Because Legarius, I was in the locker room after the game. I talked to Legarius Sneed. I talked to Roger McCreary.
Yeah.
They both told me they were flat and the team wasn't ready. And you can say that's on the head coach. There are 53 guys in that locker room who get 17 cracks at it a year.
Yep.
And if they can't be ready to play football, then they need to find 53 different ones.
Right. It's not always on the head coach. It's partially on the head coach.
Yes.
But like, each of those guys gets paid a lot of money to go out and be ready to play.
What did we also hear about in the summer that they wanted to do other than get rid of penalties? Develop leadership.
Yeah.
If they are not ready to play, then that's a failure of the leadership in that locker room.
For sure.
And believe me, leadership is more than pull guys in a huddle and going blah, 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 blah. It is hop on my back and I will show you the way. You guys just give as much effort as I do, and we will get this thing done.
Yep, and I don't know if maybe Brian Callahan, I mean, it sounded like based on how long it took Brian Callahan to get to the podium that he maybe let them have it a little bit in the locker room.
From what I understand, there was an open dialogue.
Yes. Yeah, that would be my guess. 615-737-1025. Philip, we appreciate you waiting. We appreciate you calling
MVP,
back.
MVP, Philip.
Yes, the MVP. Philip, go ahead. Thank you so much for waiting.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate that. So my thing is, first of all, it's a couple of things. The caller's calling in for a strepo. Man, that's just crazy. I think if anybody got an opportunity, I don't know. First of all, strepo and Ridley play two different, totally
yes.
different positions.
That's correct.
That doesn't even make sense. If anybody, I would probably put in Bryce Oliver to see what he can do.
I like
he
Bryce.
Plays similar position. But you can move Iron Miner to the one, put in Bryce Oliver, let DK play the slot. That would be more of a, if you want the young guys to play, that makes more sense than putting in Estrepo. The problem with Estrepo, too, is he's a smaller target. Cam right now is overthrowing balls. That's not the answer to put in a smaller target, especially when the line is. An issue with me with Cam, too, is Cam gets nervous in the pocket sometimes when he has a clean NFL pocket, which is different than a clean
Do you think
pocket.
He doesn't trust the pocket, though, at this point after what he
that's
saw?
That's what it is. But the thing is, an NFL pocket and a college pocket is mm-hmm. completely different. And he hasn't adjusted his game.
Derrick Henry had some of that in the run game.
NFL. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then he also doesn't move off his targets quick enough. So a couple of his sacks are actually caused by him. If you look at, like, film and stuff, some of his sacks, he's not moving off of one side of the ball, and he has somebody complete, or even his interception. His interception, it was a guy wide open in the middle of the field at the 40, I think. He didn't even throw it to him, but he held the ball, then threw that pass late. It turns into a pick six. So some of the issues with the line is caused by Cam Ward. I hate to say that, and I know people don't want to hear that, but some of the issues with the line is caused by him because he holds on to the ball too long. In the NFL, you got to have that ball out with 3 to 4 seconds. That's it. No, you don't expect the line to hold for 6 seconds. That's too long.
Philip, I think this is one of those times where both things can be true that you're talking about. You know, like the blocking can be better, but and Cam can be better, and a third thing can be true, and that's why he's out there. He's out there to learn.
Right. Yep. Right. This is my last thing, though.
Yep.
My thing is that everybody's calling for a strepo. I think the answers are already on the roster, though. I think they should go towards what the coach was doing, a play-action game with two tight end sets. They have a 6'6 tight end rookie that they drafted that's a big target in Gunnar Helm.
Catches
put
the football,
Helm
too.
And Chig out there together, and you play action off that, put him on the center more, make it easier for him to read the defenses, and try to play off the run game and the play action with the two tight ends and your two receivers. That's the answer, really, especially for him, which he – and if you look at his game, he actually does better – when it's a play action, he hits the tight ends. Those are some of our biggest gains in the offense. And I hang up and listen, guys. Thank you.
You know, I hate to completely agree with Philip, but I was saying that before the season
yes,
ever started.
Yep.
That they needed to roll two tight ends and throw the football over the middle of the field to the 6'6 target that is Gunnar Helm. And get Chig the football because he could run with the football. Chig had a good game on Sunday.
He did. Five catches, 65 yards.
And, you know, it would give you an extra blocker. So if you wanted to keep one in to protect, it's already built into the formation.
Yep.
I think Philip is spot on there. But, again, when you look at the Cincinnati offense, what did they not utilize in Cincinnati?
Tight ends.
They didn't utilize the tight ends. And so utilizing the tight ends here is different from what they were doing there. But again, one of my big points of contention has been, and I don't know, this could be dead wrong, you have to coach the team you've got, not the one that you want to have.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have Joe Burrow. You don't have Ja'Marr Chase. You don't have T. Higgins. You've got the Tennessee Titans. How do you get the most out of those guys? And, you know, Brian could be sitting here right here and go, Corey, that's exactly what I'm doing. And may not be wrong.
Yeah, no, like we don't have the play calls, as Brian said.
But for me, they did run more play action this week, which I was excited to see because they do need to run more play action. I know people hate the run game, and the run game wasn't great this week. It's still not as bad as the passing game. They're 32nd in passing, okay? So the run game is still the strength of the offense. And as long as you can keep people honest with the run game where they have to defend it, all right, then they have to honor it, all right, then you can do that. And so I agree with Phillip. Get the two tight ends out there, run the football, go play action, work your way down the field, and take your shots when they're there.
I like what Phillip said about Bryce Oliver, too. If you're looking for,
I love Bryce
if you're
Oliver.
Looking for a young wide receiver to get more reps, how about the one that's actually proven he can do it at the NFL level Bryce Oliver?
Now, he was out last week.
Yes, he was hurt.
And hopefully he's back this week. Look, he is a big, strong kid with really large, strong hands who looked great last year in camp and then became a gunner and became a good gunner and then had another great camp this year.
Right.
All right. To where he wasn't even a question to make the team. All right. It's time to let him play.
Yes. If you're looking for a guy who is a little unsung, who may be able to help this offense, it's Oliver. It's not Restrepo.
I love when he said put Oliver, Io Manor, and DK out there. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
You know what? Let's run out there, end of the season, Io Manor, DK in the slot, Oliver, Helm. That's your
end of the
group.
Season.
Right. Do it right now.
I mean, well, okay. Look, what are you getting from Lockett?
Right.
And what are you getting from Ridley?
There comes a point where Ridley, I think...
You expect more.
You're starting to wonder if it's ever going to get better, but I think you hope it will. But
it has to.
With Lockett and Jefferson, those guys are on one-year deals.
Yes.
They're not going to help the team next year. There's no point in giving them consistent reps out there.
I mean, look, they're there if you have to play them.
Yes.
Right? I mean...
They are good safety blankets if the young guys fail.
Tyler's going to be in the right place. If that's solely what you want, then that's fine. But I'd like to see the ball in DK's hands.
Me too. I think getting the young players
3-14 is a lot easier to stomach watching future players play
right
than past players not make plays.
Yes. If you can see some hope for some of these young players heading into next year, that makes you feel a lot better than watching Tyler Lockett catch balls for 27 yards.
Regardless of how god-awful it's been, everybody's still excited about Io Manor, and everybody's more excited about DK than they thought they would be.
For sure.
So two things can be true again. You can be awful, but still be excited about some of what you got.
I said it yesterday. Good teams sell production. Bad teams sell hope. That's what this team needs to do, is you need to sell some hope with these young players. 615-737-1025. Great stuff on the phone line so far today. We'll get back into Brian Callahan's decision to give up play calling coming up next. He was brought in here to be the offensive guru. He's no longer calling plays. Do we think this move could help Cam Ward with Bo Hardigree calling the plays? Or do we think maybe this hurts him, as it looks like he might have 3 play callers in his first 2 seasons? We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan yesterday, asked by Paul Kaharsky about, you were brought in because of your offensive genius, for lack of a better term, and your play
call. No one called him an offensive genius.
Offensive guru is what he was brought in to be.
Quarterback guru.
Yes. Yeah. He was brought in for his offensive prowess.
Yes. I think that's the
best
way.
That's a better word.
His offensive track record was... And by the way, also everyone who's ever known him recommended him for this job.
He was a highly regarded candidate coming in, but now he's not going to be calling plays. And you wonder if that does that kind of defeat the purpose of having an offensive-minded head coach as your guy in charge.
I'm going to do something wildly, wildly unpopular.
Go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with everyone here and agree with Brian Callahan, okay? And from that, and I do have a method to my madness to this. Number one, yes, he was hired to be the head coach, first and foremost. I will agree with everyone. It certainly looks like a demotion, and it's certainly a disappointment that he's not the one calling plays, because that's what you expected him to do. However, there's more than one reason you hired an offensive head coach. You hired an offensive head coach not to necessarily call the plays, but to have an offensive system. And not have to replace that system every time your coordinator, Arthur Smith, is hired away. So even though he doesn't call the plays, the system, no matter if it's Bo Huttergree, Nick Holtz, Mike McCoy, the system is still the same offensive system. You just have a different guy sending in the play call, all right? And so if he can still have his system, he still works Monday through Friday on putting in the game plan, all right, on developing what they're going to do with his offensive coaches. And then on Sunday, focuses on the game and managing the game. I'm going to really dumb this down, okay, because we were talking about youth soccer.
Right.
I had an assistant coach, and I'd get so caught up in the game that, God bless her, she handled the time and the subs for me because I was so busy coaching the game, I would lose track all the time. So just imagine being an NFL head coach. And look, that's why they make big money, because it's a hard job, all right? And so, again, I'm not making excuses for him. I'm not saying this doesn't look bad. It does. But you can still keep the same off. You still have the reason you hired him, hired an offensive guy, was so that you wouldn't lose your offensive system when you lost your coach. Okay? So you can keep your coach. You can change play callers as long as the offense stays the same. Does that make sense?
That is fair. Yeah. And I guess I haven't thought about it that way, that. Yes, even if Bo Huttergree, like, let's say this ends up working out and it turns the whole thing around.
Bo Huttergree is the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars
right,
next year.
Right. Brian Callahan keeps his job because of this, and Bo Huttergree gets hired as the, I mean, I guess.
OC.
He's not the OC here, but he's the play caller.
He becomes an OC
he
somewhere.
He gets the title of offensive coordinator somewhere and gets to be the play caller. It would still be the same system.
Yep.
You just have somebody else
call
as the voice in his head. Why is it not Nick Holtz, though?
That's
the big question.
Yeah.
And you wonder, I know that Brian Callahan, he did go through everybody's responsibilities when it came to game planning. And, you know, Randy does the screens and Nick Holtz does
and
the
every,
red zone.
And every coach has his staff. Like
right.
That,
yeah. Exactly.
Well, not necessarily that way, but along those lines.
But it's just very interesting that a guy with the title of offensive coordinator, and I get it, there are plenty of offensive coordinators out there who don't call plays. Sean McVay's offensive coordinator doesn't call plays.
Yeah, he's the head coach now in Cincinnati.
Right. Well, Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
And Kevin O'Connell.
Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur had that job before
he
came here.
He was not a play caller either.
So it happens all the time.
Yep.
But it is strange for the head coach to give up play calling and skip over the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it is. It's not a good look. It's not. I just glossed over a reason why this isn't maybe the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, just trying to say, hey, you know, maybe this could work. This is why, blah, 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 blah. I can't come up with a good reason other than you don't think he can do it.
I mean, I get Huttergree has called plays at the NFL level before,
yes,
which Nick Holtz has not done.
Yeah, but Brian Callahan had not done it before either.
Right, which is, it's all a little confusing. It does.
No,
it's
not confusing. It really isn't.
It does set up that if they'd let go of Brian Callahan, that they could let Nick Holtz go too, but you wouldn't have to change the play caller.
Okay.
Or,
you mean during this season?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Obviously, by the end of the season, they're all going to be gone.
Well, here's another question. You know, we argue, split hairs, whose decision was this for Callahan to step away from play calling?
Yeah.
So, if it was not his decision, whose decision was it who the play caller is?
Right. Did Brian Callahan skip over Nick, or did Borgonzi, Brinker?
Did they say, you're going to give up play calling, you've got a choice, it's Mike or it's Bo.
Yeah.
They're going to call the plays for you. There is no discussion. This is the way it's going to be, one or the other. Or I mean, and we're guessing.
Yeah. Right? We're guessing. Same thing with the Jarvis Brownlee situation. Like, we don't know what is going on behind the scenes.
But for to completely pass over the OC, I mean, because that would be the easiest thing. I can't make sense. I can't.
Well, we looked at it from the best case scenario of, you know, Brian Callahan, if he ends up sticking around and he's the head coach, even if he's not the play caller,
yep,
you keep the offensive system.
Yeah.
More likely, Brian Callahan not going to be the head coach here.
Probably not.
And Cam Ward is going to have his third play caller in 2 years. We'll talk about whether that could be detrimental to the quarterback's progress coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan, asked by Teron Davenport, who will be on from 9 to 11 tomorrow on the show. So make sure you tune in as TD joins the program for his weekly visit. Ask Brian Callahan how this decision to give up play calling is going to affect Cam Ward. Brian Callahan says it's going to be minimal, but this will be two play callers already for Cam Ward entering week four of his NFL career. And again, I don't want to, Brian Callahan's still the head coach as of right now, but the way it's looking, odds are he will not be the head coach next year, which would mean a third play caller in two seasons for Cam Ward. We just went through during the break all of Marcus Mariota's play
calls. Five in 5 years.
Same thing. Halfway through his rookie year, Ken Whisenhunt was fired. And Jason Michaels?
It was his tight end coach. I think that was his name. And I think he got elevated to call plays. I know it wasn't a wonderful marriage with
right.
the head coach and OC. But Malark, that's the way Malarkey was. He's like, I need you to do a job.
Yeah.
And you go do it. And I think there's a lot of Mike Malarkey this team needs right now.
So that's two.
Yeah.
Plus Terry Robiskie under Mike Malarkey.
2 years.
Then Matt LaFleur for the first year under Vrabel.
Yep.
And then Arthur Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So Marcus
five games.
Right, before he got benched. So Marcus Mariota had five play callers in his four and a half seasons that he was the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. Already, it's looking like Cam Ward's going to have three, which means whoever you hire, whether it's an offensive-minded head coach, whether it's a defensive-minded head coach, you got to get whoever the play caller is next right for the rookie quarterback.
I mean, you always think you got to get it right. I mean,
I mean, I guess there's never, hey, we can get this one wrong. But, it feels like there's extra urgency because you don't want to stunt Cam Ward's growth.
No, I mean, it's just, we talked about Caleb Williams. He had two OCs his rookie year. And, how did that finish? Not great.
Yep.
Not great. Cam has come out publicly, craving stability.
Yep.
All right.
Defending Brian Callahan unprompted multiple times.
Yes. Yes. And so, look, you can't just keep a guy to keep a guy, because whether they say the definition of insanity is do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Sometimes you need to let things marinate. See how they go. We are 3 weeks in.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like 3 weeks. It feels like it's been a long time since this season started.
I mean, look, here, I'll simplify it for you. Does it feel like the season's over?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it feels like.
Yep.
It feels like the season's over. And that's why I said at the very beginning of this show, every decision you have to make right now starts with one question. And you nailed it. What's best for the quarterback?
Yep.
And so, I think you have to continue evaluating the quarterback as you go along and seeing, how he, continues to develop. And look, if it goes the inevitable path that it looks like it's going on, he'll have a new coordinator. He did it in college. He absorbed them all in college, and he's going to have to do it at this level. I mean, regardless, if they go 14-3, and Brian Callahan is back next year, he's not going to be his last coordinator.
Yeah. No, that is true.
That's just realistic. I mean, even Tom Brady had different coordinators. Okay. Sometimes he had the same one multiple times.
It is true. If the quarterback's good enough,
yes.
Usually it doesn't matter if he goes through some of those changes. But this early in his career,
it's not great.
You worry about the effect that it could have.
But you're more concerned about getting it right.
Yes. I think Robbie says it all the time. Stability for stability's sake isn't worth it.
Nope.
You don't want to just have Brian Callahan keep calling the plays because that's who he started with.
Nope.
But we'll see what it looks like this week. Bohart agree. I don't hate it because he is the guy who literally is around Cam Ward the most. He is the one who is meeting him as he comes off the field pretty much every single time. You wonder if maybe that changes now that he's the play caller and he has to be, he's got his hands in a whole lot of different pies moving forward, but that would be another concern that I would have.
I'm big on first impressions. Okay, what's my first read on somebody? And I've heard Bohart agree before and stuff, but this was the he got up there yesterday in a difficult situation. All right, lots of questions, lots of people going, "What's going on here?" I thought he sounded really confident.
He did. Yeah, we aired some of it, and it didn't sound like he was overwhelmed by the situation.
And I thought that was really, really, really important. Really important that he didn't sound overwhelmed. That not only did he not sound overwhelmed, he sounded confident.
Yep.
He sounded like, I got this. You know, this is not a problem. I will do this. We will score points. I have led offenses that have scored points before. I know this quarterback. We're going to score points. And so I think that is really important. Is that the answer to everything? No. But if you had somebody up there who didn't sound entirely sure of what was going on or how to answer the question of like, well, you know, they just asked me to do it, and so I'm doing it, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm excited about No. He gave the whole, like, you know, MacArthur thing of I shall return. You know, he sounded confident.
Yeah.
And again, that's what leaders do. They sound confident. And, you know, Brian Callahan said what he had to say, you know, I'm good with it. You know, whether you believe in him or not, that's entirely up to you. Whether you think he was confident in saying that is another thing. That's a tough one to sell confidence on.
Yeah.
But I do think that Bo sounded confident. And I think that was important, and we'll see how it plays out on Sunday.
Yeah, and it makes this game a lot more interesting. We're going to talk more about this game with the Texans coming up towards the end of the show, but you now get to see how do things change now that there's a new voice calling the plays for Cam Ward. I think odds are it's not going to be that different. Like, nope. It's the same system.
But hopefully they're not throwing the ball from their own six with 30 seconds to go.
Right. Hopefully the decision-making, now that Brian Callahan has the play calling off his plate, and they can tag team those decisions. Yep. Maybe it allows Brian Callahan to make some smarter decisions, which that's been the issue through.
Or just not question himself as much.
Right. Two out of the three games, Brian Callahan has botched a situation.
Yep.
Towards the end of the first half. Hopefully, having his mind clear a little bit will help with that.
I think. Look, this might be me feeling sorry for the guy a little bit. Nobody goes into this job dreaming of this.
Okay. Right.
This has been his dream job.
He did not think he was going to be 3-17.
No,
sure.
No, this was his dream job, and he's lived his whole life for this moment.
Yep.
And anybody who has the results, regardless of how bad your roster is, you're going to start questioning yourself. And I think he's probably done a little too much of that. And you can't just double down. You can change. I mean, he changed the summer program. You can make fun of the summer program all you want. He tried something different. And I don't have a hard time with it. It didn't work.
He's not stubborn. That's for sure.
No.
Like, he is flexible to make changes if he sees that changes need to be made.
But there also needs to be a time when you need to dig in.
Yep.
And I asked him this question on Monday. I said, we all fall into a hole where it looks like we got no place to go. We've all done it at some point in our life. I've been there a couple times.
Yep.
And at that point, you look in the mirror. This is what he talked about after the game to the guys. Everybody needs to look in the mirror. You look at what are your base values. Who are the people around you who are going to help pull you out of this and not keep you in it? And how do you move forward with that? Because that's what you do. That's what you do. You find the little things that you do well with the best people that you've got.
Yep.
And you say, guys, get me out of this ditch now. All right? And we are going to move forward. All right? Looking around, feeling sorry for yourself, questioning everything, paralysis by analysis. That only makes the hole deeper. That only makes the hole deeper.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it in week one. He got too aggressive at the end of the half, and people went after him for it, rightfully so.
Yep.
And we've seen he's played for the field goal back-to-back weeks.
They're not great. I don't have a hard time playing for the field goal.
Right. But make a decision.
Commit to it.
Yep.
Commit to it.
You got to be confident in what you do. And, again, the hope is that getting play calling off of his plate will allow him to make some of those decisions more confidently and quicker. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Hour number two in the books here on this Wednesday. We are going to pivot to college football here for the next couple of segments. Corey and I are going to have a discussion because the Heisman race feels wide open. Chance for a couple of local guys to get
feels
in.
Feels
wide open.
Is.
There are a couple of guys up at the top. One of them just got surgery on his hand.
Yep, and so another one just had a garbage game.
Yep. So could come some of these local guys get into the conversation. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.